Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A good development, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger will vote to censure Paul Gosar. That's very, very important. You know, both of these people have a lot of integrity, have a lot of courage. Adam Kinzinger has been redistricted, unfortunately, by Democrats in Illinois into a guy named LaHood's district, a right-wing guy in an adjacent district. Kinzinger represents the Rockford area. And running against LaHood when Trump is attacking Kinzinger would very likely result in Kinzinger's losing. So Kinzinger likely will be out of the Congress after this coming election, which is really too bad because he's a real leader. I hate to see him go. Liz Cheney is fighting valiantly in Wyoming. But Liz Cheney, you know, she's Dick Cheney's daughter, for Pete's sake. And, you know, they live in Wyoming. But what happens is Trump has endorsed her opponent, which has squeezed out the other opponents, or a whole bunch of them. Would have been great if she'd had 20 opponents, but now she'll have one major one, and Trump's behind this person. And this person is a woman, and she at one time denounced Trump, but now she's sucking around him. So hopefully Liz Cheney survives. But in any event, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger have both said they will vote to censure Paul Gosar. Now, it's going to take a majority vote. Pelosi has to put it to the Congress. She's been reluctant to put censure votes in the past. The major thing she did was strip Marjorie Taylor Greene of her committee assignments. That was an essential because Marjorie Taylor Greene had threatened to kill Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama. For some reason, wasn't prosecuted. I have no idea why. But in any event, she got stripped of her committee assignments. But there have been other motions to censure everyone from Matt Gaetz to Devin Nunes to Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, all these people. And I think Pelosi has wisely not put those to a vote. The reason for that is there's plenty of reason to censure them, but you could censure about, you could censure 20% of the Republican caucus. And at some point, the context of it looks overwhelming. It results in retaliation. And people start to think, you know, why are you doing all this? But this case involved Gosar putting an animated video in which there is violence, in which he kills Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and attacks Biden with swords. And he should have been criminally charged with that. He has not been. I'll tell you, I would be a lot more aggressive than Merrick Garland, I'll tell you that. But in any event, there is a sentiment now in the Congress that he went too far, and Pelosi may put it to a vote. She won't put it to a vote unless she's certain it will pass. And by having Gosar be censured by Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney is huge. Then it becomes bipartisan. Then it's easier for a couple of other Republicans to go along. And if a handful of Democrats chicken out, remember, she can only lose 3 votes. She's a slim majority. So if she loses more than 3 Democratic votes, she has to make it up with Republican votes. But the main thing is the appearance and the message of this, that this is a statement by Republicans and Democrats alike, that Paul Gosar is out of bounds, shouldn't be in the Congress. He's a bad man, just a bad individual, and he's being censured. So stand by. There's a new book, by the way, that is coming out or just came out by Jonathan Carl. Jonathan Carl is the ABC News chief White House correspondent. You see him on the evening news frequently. And he discloses from his sources that when Donald Trump lost the election, obviously, and then January 6th occurred, Moscow Mitch himself decided to not invite Trump to the inaugural of Joe Biden. Now, how can Moscow Mitch do that? It's because the Republicans get a certain number of seats. And Moscow Mitch and Kevin McCarthy are the ones who decide who goes in those seats. And normally the prior president would be right there to show the peaceful transition of power. But Moscow Mitch correctly thought that Trump would do something unbelievable. That he'd jump up and shout it was a fraud or, you know, I don't know. I mean, expose himself to the cameras? You know, I mean, the guy is not housebroken. The guy's a Frankenstein. He's not housebroken. Moscow Mitch was afraid that Trump would do something to disrupt it, and shout. So Moscow Mitch decided to not invite him. Kevin McCarthy disagreed. And the two of them really had to. I mean, you couldn't have one of them want Trump there and one not. Kevin McCarthy didn't really want Trump there, but he thought that it would be worse if Trump weren't there and that it would at least be a sign of the peaceful transition of power, the transfer of power. Now, Moscow Mitch, I think, had the better of the argument, which is, that's great if he'd sit there and shut up, but he won't sit there and shut up. And Kevin McCarthy is trying to suck along to the right wing of his caucus, desperately trying to hold on to being speaker someday. He's not going to be. He's bad news. He's very, very weak and servile, and they won't pick him, in my opinion. Well, it was all going along as planned. And then Biden, you know, his people wouldn't invite Trump if Moscow Mitch and McCarthy said not to. So McCarthy went silent, and you know what he did? He snuck around. He's a sneaky guy, by the way, Kevin McCarthy. He snuck around, and he told the Biden White House, and he also told Donald Trump that Moscow Mitch was going to stick a stick in the spokes and not have Trump invited. And you know what Trump did? He tried to make the best of it, and he announces he's not going to come. Like it's on him. He goes, hey, I'm not going to go. You could invite me, but I'm not going to go. I don't think it's legitimate. And that's how it was handled. You know what it reminds me of? And this is something not generally known. The Queen of England, she doesn't invite you to tea because she can't stand, the aristocracy can't stand the humiliation of you saying no. If she wants to invite you to tea to honor you, or she just wants to invite you to tea, which is like a very big deal, some guy from her staff calls you and says, Excellency, this is to advise you that if you were to request to be invited for tea, it would be very likely be favorably looked on by the Queen. So you've got to ask, and then she'll accept. And then if you don't show up, she can say, well, he asked. This is very old school. This is the kind of stuff that goes back 1,000 years, guys with wigs, all that, you know, Lord Plushbottom, the Earl of Pagoshire, all this stuff. Well, what Trump is going is exactly something like that. He knows he's not going to be invited, so he holds a press conference. He goes, I wouldn't go. I'm not going. It's a fraud. I wouldn't go if they invited me. Well, hey, Jack, they ain't going to invite you. You just got disinvited. All of this occurred because Kevin McCarthy ratted it out to Trump. He ratted it out. That's exactly what happened. These are sad games. I mean, really, really very sad games. But there's tremendous unease with Trump in the Republican rank and file, but they're desperately afraid of him, afraid that he will go against them in a primary. They're subservient and submissive. And that's the one thing, in my view, that could change the equation of the 2022 elections. If the electorate starts to realize that, that may make a big difference. Coming to the end of the show, great call-ins, great topics. Stand by for some great programming. Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Earl Ingram, my friend, great evening program, great weekend programming, headlined by Pizza Box Mike. Matt Flynn Direct, we're back, same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.